Mr. Jim Spradley is a child of sharecroppers from South Georgia. He is a World War II veteran, a successful businessman, and a family man. There's so much we can learn from the generations of our parents and grandparents, but we have to take time and listen. As a former history teacher, I was enamored with the opportunities to use primary source documents, artifacts, and the spoken words and stories of those people who lived in the history I was studying and teaching. Mr. Spradley was 91 and 92 at the time of the interviews. His stories are fascinating and inspiring. The interviews were informal, sit-down discussions in Mr. Spradley's living room. There was not a script to be followed. He sat on his sofa and I was in a chair across from him. One of his dogs was on the couch with him. If you are a teacher, my hope is that you will be able to use Mr. Spradley's memories to help create engaging activities for your students. If you are a history buff, these talks are just what you are looking for. If you are a student, listen and learn from the lessons of life. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
This is episode 2 of my interview with Jim Spradley. Today our conversation is focused on his education.
Did anything from this time of your life, from that era of your life, really impact you, or a lesson that you learned when you would be in business down the road? Anything that impact you, that just a lesson learned that would impact you the rest of your life, I guess?
Well, I guess it would be the biggest thing I think I could remember, Steve, was that it was the schooling was really meant a lot to me. I so much wanted to go to school, and part of the enjoyment I had, my first memory was that we were in the third or fourth grade, and the teacher read us the story Black Beauty. You familiar with that
story?
Yes,
very much so.
And that she read a chapter a day, and I couldn't wait to get to school, to get the next chapter. That was just, and that was it was, and then the next thing I remember specifically about that is, don't let me get too far ahead of you, but I had a few relatives that lived in Atlanta, and to my knowledge, you know, I thought that they were well off, and I had a birthday once and had a birthday party, and so I expected them to give me something of real value. Okay. Something it meant to me. And the people whom I was looking for the best present gave me a book. And it was a real small print. And I was so disappointed I put it away. And because most of my reading had done was back then was Horatio Alger Jr. You familiar with those books?
So.
That the guy that always made it to the top by working hard, and that really made an impression on me. But there was one weekend there that it rained, and I didn't have anything to do, and I decided that here was this book I would start it, and I had received as a present. And I started reading it, and geez, it was either Robinson Crusoe or one of those stories. What was the guy that the pygmies nailed down to the ground?
Gulliver's, you know, my Gulliver's Travels?
One of those books. And geez, I got so interested in it, I didn't put it down.
Nice.
And from then on, I began to read everything I could get my hands on. Now, unfortunately, I didn't have anybody to lead me in the right direction. But there were several books, and I don't know where they came from, but they were in a drawer. There was something like encyclopedia. But they had, Beowulf,
yes.
And things like that and I didn't really know what I was reading, but it was they were fascinating to read. But it became a storehouse. I can remember, though, that as I grew older, now this is getting on up in the years, when my efforts would have meant something, when Daddy wanted me to stay home today and work because he needed me in the field.
Right.
And I said, Daddy, we got a test. And finally one day he said, Dave, you ought to have more damn tests. but he always let me go back to school. But that was what I used, you know, to get out of work at the farm was to go back to go back to school so that I wouldn't have to stay at home. But again, when you got off the school bus, you had to change clothes, take off your overalls, and you know what we did is that they would buy us clothes at in October, I guess. We'd go to Macon to one of the merchandise stores, you know, and we would buy our clothes. We called them jumpers, you know, overall jumpers, and a couple of pairs of overalls, and that lasted us for the year.
Is there something that you just really remember about those days that just is something that just happened, or something that just is something you always think about, or?
Well, one thing that I really enjoyed school for, Steve, was that our teachers back then would, if any of us in the classroom did anything unusual, like recited a poem or could do something special, then we would go to the next room over and have a program. And that was a way of kind of being a little bit outstanding, you know, or being important.
Okay.
So I always look forward to, somehow or other, I don't misunderstand this, but I gathered a sense of things that I was a little bit not better off, but I was ability to study better or more.
Okay.
Than the other group, because chances are that 9 out of 10 of the boys that were going to school, the only thing they talked about was old enough to quit.
Wow.
You know, when you got to a certain age, you
could
quit school. Yeah, and they didn't see school as a way out.
They saw it something to stop doing.
Yes, and I think if you noticed in the book, my grandmother lived on the corner of Lucky and North Avenue.
Yes.
And she boarded Tech students. And to me, they really were great. They hung the moon. And they took up some time with me and occasionally would take me over to Georgia Tech and let me. They had to go back for maybe a book or something.
Right.
And they would take me over and we walked through the school, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I was so impressed that I just knew one day I would go to Tech. Now, unfortunately, we didn't have anybody who schooled me or trained me into what it would take to get into Tech. I just did my usual thing and studied enough to get by with it. So when it came time for me to apply for Tech, you know, I didn't make the cut. I just didn't have the background. But I started off by wanting to be a school teacher, and because I just felt like if I could have control, I could train so the guys wouldn't want to leave school. You know, but in any event, when I went to go to after I had 1 year of college from Georgia Southwestern, I applied for a job at one place, and he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said I wanted to teach school, and he said if you do, you'll starve to death. So that kind of registered a little bit, and I figured I'd better broaden my horizon, but I just believe that I could. I remember when I was taking what's the college level course where you measured tin cans of, you know, volume in the cans of.
Like college algebra, or
yeah, well, yeah, it's cut above that. At but anyway, something like that. I had a teacher there that, geez, I could have just listened to all day long. I could have been in his class too.
Nice. Well, thank you very much for spending so much time with me today. And
it hadn't been much time, and I've been doing all the talking. But
well, that's what I want to do. Is I want you to talk. So I appreciate you talking with me.
You know, one day I was so sore that I could hardly walk, you know, and I kept begging my daddy to let me take out. And he said, no, you can't do that. Finally he said, you know, come on, let's go. We got a job to do. And I said, okay, you can, but you can put one thing in the book. When I get old enough, I'm gone. And he didn't. He let me go too. My brother stayed on and ran the farm, and he's still got it.
Oh wow!
But that particular time we didn't own it. But as it worked out after the war, you know, I mean, but when the war started and the economy started booming, you know, there was some cash around.
Right.
So my sister had gone to Atlanta. And she was doing work as a secretary. She went to some trade school up there, and I remember her coming home and explaining to us Social Security, you know, and what it meant, and little things like that that it wasn't generally known or talked about because it was brand new, you know.
Right.
Roosevelt was introducing those things, and I got a job at school that paid $4 a month for sweeping the library and doing the work for the librarian that wanted done, taking out trash and, you know, stashing books and that sort of thing. But you got to go. I didn't mean to keep talking.
Oh, you're fine. I enjoyed that. But I want to make sure, $4 a month is what you said.
Yeah.
Wow.
But now that was when I went to Georgia Southwestern, I got a job cleaning the dormitory, and that paid $10 a month. You know, it's kind of difficult to imagine my dad not being able to send me on to school. But it wasn't so much what the school cost is the labor he was losing.
I can imagine.
By me being away.
Right.
See, because as I grew up, it doesn't take long before, you know, you, a farm boy, you can do, and you really take pride in doing whatever it is to be done, you know. I mean, except when you go home and you could, I mean, go to school or something, and you brag to your fellows what you did the day before. Uh-huh. That was kind of something you could be proud of. There was a couple of, I don't guess it would have meant anything, but Neil has a couple of books that that I had, that I got ordered that about life during the 30s.
Uh-huh.
But they're available, so you don't have to.
Okay.
You can forget that part.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you spending all this time.
No problem. I got something to do.
And I look forward to talking to you again.
Just wish I was a little better organized.
Oh, it's okay. You're good. You're good. You're very good. Okay. This is, I'm enjoying it. It's perfect. So, well, thank you again.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.